2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we are headed back to Florida for the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass, one of the most iconic courses that the PGA Tour has to offer, and of course one of the most, the most lucrative tournament of the year, which in turn means it's going to be the strongest field that we'll see all year long. It's even stronger than the majors. You know, a lot of the majors have the former winners kind of clogging up the bottom. This tournament is a real money maker. So everybody that can possibly qualify for this tournament goes for it. So you'll pretty much see all the recognizable big names here at this tournament, and you're going to be short one big name, as Tiger has withdrawn with an injury this week. It's a big shame, but hopefully we'll look to get him back. We get Cantlay back off of his surgery. He'd only been gone for about 3 weeks, but this is the return of him here. Before I dive too deep into the event here at Sawgrass, gotta let you know that at DFSArmy.com, you can sign up today with promo code TACO to get your lifetime 20% off, and you'll gain access to the research station, which I am currently using to, you know, make this podcast and go over all the stats that you could possibly want to look over for this event. You know, we've got full course history, recent form, going all the way back a year, the fantasy scoring splits, the projected round score, which is, you know, uses the hole types available at this course, their averages on those, and gives it a course specific projected round score and projected DraftKings or FanDuel fantasy points per round, just based on their averages at, you know, the short, medium length, and long par threes, fours, and fives, what the course has in store for us. So, okay, again, you can access that along with the Domination Station lineup optimizer. You can make up to 300 lineups on the fly. Just got another new update. It's pretty nice. And of course, it's not just PGA here, of course. We cover all the sports. I got basketball still going pretty strong. You've got spring training and baseball coming back. And you had another killer weekend in NASCAR last week. It's been an awesome year of NASCAR so far. And we just had a member, you know, take home the big $10, winning $70,000 at the Phoenix race. So that's a lot of fun. And it's all included in one package. DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO, get you that lifetime 20% off discount. So on to TPC Sawgrass. It's a par 72, but it's a short par 72, 7,198 yards. Again, iconic Pete Dye design. Everyone knows the Island 17 hole, and in years past, that's had a Twitter stream for free where people could watch that hole being played all day long in 360. And this week we get a lot of insight into this tournament. They're going to be showing off a feature that'll show everybody's strokes. So you can tune into, I think it's with NBC Gold. I think I haven't looked into it too much yet, but I know that's going to be some really in-depth coverage. And if I'm not mistaken, you're going to be able to look at everybody's shots or tune into whoever you want. So that'd be pretty cool. That'd be something that you know, we definitely want to see on the tour this year. So I'll definitely check out what the Players Championship is selling you this week. You know, hopefully if you know, they get a big positive response to this, this is something that they'll do for other tournaments potentially, or even just moving forward. That would be really awesome. So looking forward to that, just like with you know, most other the majors. You know, I know this isn't a major, but definitely has the major type feel to it. It's got the soft pricing, the super strong field, you know, all the top 50 in the world, and that you know, it's always gonna feel like like a major here, just with all the money that's at stake, and yeah, just all the big names showing up. I mean, if you can win here, that's pretty awesome. The tail of the tape so far with the course historically, though, it's really a crapshoot. It's very oftentimes a crapshoot here, and I really can't express that enough. I mean, yeah, we had just a terrific West Coast swing this year, for sure. And I think people that have been following, you know, fantasy golf or just this PGA Tour season in general, you can tell the difference between that West Coast swing and the last few weeks that we've had here in Florida. Just a massive night and day difference. You know, the West Coast courses, they almost all of them played under par. You know, some of them were extremely easy. You had winners of 20 under, 25 under, even at like the Desert Classic or what, the American Express, whatever it's called now. Over the last 2 weeks, it has been just absolutely brutal. You had the, you know, the awful weather last week at the Arnold Palmer. Only a handful of guys even finished over par. Just had that real major feel to it last week, just with the difficulty being ramped up. And, you know, the Honda Classic the week before, I consider that to be very, very similar to what we're going to see here at this course with all the water in play. And, you know, it's something that Sawgrass definitely has, big time. You don't see a lot of pars here, actually. That's kind of what makes it so unpredictable, is it's actually a pretty easy course. You know, like, the Island 17, if there's just grass around it, that'd be one of the easiest holes that they play on the PGA Tour. It's just the risk-reward aspect of the whole thing. You know, not many pars to go around, a lot of eagles actually to be made here, but lots of double bogeys or worse, and that's just something that, you know, Florida golf just that's what it's like here, honestly. It's what it was like last week, what it was like the week before, and we're not gonna really be looking too much at stats this week. You know, historically, almost every statistics correlated pretty low with results here. It tends to be a bit random. Not going to be looking at course history all that much. You see a lot of winners here go on to miss the cut, like Matsuyama, for example. He won. That win was sandwiched around a 78th, a 77th, a 77th, a 60th, an 89th. You know, Siwoo Kim has won here. There's really no one that has exceptional course history. Some guys, it, you know, really seems like that, you know, for a few years, and then they just fall off a cliff. You know, ask Henrik Stenson. You know, he was very, very good here, but that was the case last week, and he certainly not looked very good. But you see that with pretty much everyone here. Rory won last year. He's the defending champion. Missed the cut the year before. John Rahm, you know, had two awful, awful performances here before finally having a good finish last year in 2019, finishing 12th. You know, Justin Thomas missed the cut here a few years ago. Last year, Patrick Cantlay missed the cut. I think that was like his second or third missed cut since coming back in 2017. So, very, very tough course. No one's safe. It's going to lead you to, of course, fading some chalk. And there's definitely going to be some chalk this week. The pricing was really inconsistent to the Vegas odds, at least. You've got a lot of really strange, I guess not really strange pricing, but it definitely doesn't fall in line with the odds very much this week. It's going to lead to some guys just sticking out as sort of obvious plays. You're going to have some really chalky guys. The best example of this being Bryson DeChambeau. He's the fourth favorite in Vegas right now at about 18-1. Right now he's how many is that? Man, I count these out. He's 10th in DraftKings pricing. You know, Rory's up there at 11-7. He's at $9,100, but he's the fourth favorite to win this. So you see a big discrepancy there. A few guys down low, like Mark Leishman and Tyrrell Hatton, and even all the way down the 6Ks, like Joel Damon, Max Homa. You're going to have some really kind of mispriced guys that just stick out like a sore thumb from the guys around them. And, you know, in a normal week, this would be, you know, fine and dandy. You know, with a Millie Maker in the works this week on DraftKings and just bigger player pools, more of a public, you know, kind of environment we're dealing with the bigger tournaments here. You're not just going to be able to play easy plays like that, you know, the kind of obvious chalk and do pretty well here. This is not really a place you want to be attacking the chalk at, no matter how good it seems. So I'm going to be looking to go a different direction in pretty much every way I possibly can this week, with just the exception of a handful of guys that I just, you know, personally deem just, you know, the safest of bets. Up top, that's going to be, you know, if you've been following me at all, you know that I pretty much always play these guys, but Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, for, you know, reasons. If you're going to look at any stat here this week, are you really going to want to look at accuracy stats, driving accuracy, strokes gained approach? If you're going to look at any sort of strokes gained data, it's going to be just approach, really. Distance doesn't matter here quite as much with, you know, the short course and just, you know, you're not being able to bomb it out in a lot of areas, but stroke can't approach if you want to keep it out of the water, in a lot of spots, you know, it's not a bad thing to have, but even approach rates out less than an average course here. So again, you do want to get a little funky with it. There's definitely nothing wrong with picking plays that are a little weird. I just wouldn't venture out and play just random people. It doesn't make too much sense. But I'm gonna definitely try to be different this week as much as I can. You know, this is pretty much one of the most crapshootiest tournaments of the year. Probably sticks out in my mind as like maybe the least predictable, is how I'll put it. If you're just you know, just doing basic analysis like you would on a week-to-week basis, looking at course history, form, statistics, all this stuff. I think all that just kind of matters the least this week. It's a lot of it's going to come down to who gets a hot putter. So I might want to look at guys that when they do putt well, they putt really well, especially on Bermuda grass. But and I guess I'll also look at people that are really good in strong fields, of course, in major environments, and Florida courses also. That's the other field rank split that we have up, because, you know, a lot of these courses tend to play pretty darn similar. So looking at, just real quick, the, where are we at here, TPC Sawgrass. You have another TPC course. I think they have about 10 or 12 mixed around the PGA Tour here, and they're kind of set up in that classic stadium design. And of course, with, you know, it being a Pete Dye design course, it's definitely set up to test the average player in more ways than one. So right here in this average score standard deviation column that I have in the tournament comparison charts, you can see this ranks 53rd of all courses in average scoring deviation. So the scores are going to basically be wildly all over the place. The other courses that rate out really high in this regard are going to be like your U.S. Open, Open Championship kind of courses. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at this week. You're going to have some guys that, you know, just don't mess up and put up some really good scores, get some eagles, and do really well. You know, last year, I think the players actually averaged under par overall, when usually this plays a little bit over par. But, you know, we're going to see those eagles, but we're going to see, you know, this ranks out almost the lowest on tour, 61st on tour in pars per round. So along with those eagles, we're going to see a bunch of double bogeys, 0.55 double bogeys or worse per round on average. That ranks 59th on the PGA Tour. Only ones worse are, you know, like the Royal Troon that hosted the Open Championship, Oakmont that hosted the U.S. Open. So, I mean, the super, super hard, you know, major turn or courses. So it's going to kind of play like that. It's going to be pretty freaking random. Some chalk is definitely going to bomb out. And, you know, who's that chalk going to be? I don't know. It's going to be hard to guess who, you know, who hits a rock and, you know, that rock knocks it back into the middle of the green, or in the case of Fleetwood from a couple weeks ago, just hits a fan that just so happens to kick it right back in the fairway, because he totally rostered him on DraftKings. And, you know, you could either do that, or you could hit the fan that faded you and just kicks it the other way. That's the kind of things that will, you know, make big differences here at this course. I mean, one of the most iconic things that I saw here from a few years ago, I remember, you know, having a crap ton of Russell Knox, feeling pretty damn good about myself on a Sunday. Going down the 17th hole, of course, we're watching other people play their 17th hole. Knox just needs to keep it steady, get that runner-up finish. You know, that at that point, I was pretty much perma-rostering him, sort of like it was to begin this season before he kind of forgot how to golf over the last few weeks. But, yeah, needless to say, that didn't really end up so well for him, as he just splashed water ball after water ball and kind of slowly melted down. So things like that will happen. I don't think there's going to be as much of a tee time split this week as there was last week. That was definitely more of a thing for last week, but it'll still be something to look into come Wednesday evening. Probably a good idea just to have some tee time splits one way or the other, just in case, you know. Looking at the top price guys here, three of the four highest salaried golfers are actually all in one tee group together. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka. Now that is a pairing right there. Those are, yeah, those are some quality guys there. The only one they're missing out on is Justin Thomas, who's third overall. That would have been pretty cool, but yeah, I know they like making these sort of mega groups, especially for the afternoon coverage on the Golf Channel. But, you know, if you're able to tune in and see anyone, you know, everyone else will be watching Rory and Rahm. I'm going to be down there watching Cameron Tringali on 15 or whatever. But anyways, let's look at this field top to bottom here. We're going to start off with Rory, who's done absolutely nothing but come top five in 2020. Had his third, fifth place finish in a row last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And at this point, that was a bad performance from him. I mean, he really didn't do much on the weekend. Granted, no one did, especially on Saturday, where everyone just got smashed in the face by the weather. But, yeah, if a fifth place is disappointing, then you know you're a pretty darn good golfer. What can I really say? His greens and reg, he's been hitting 76% of them. Just ridiculous. Every single field rank split he has is insane. Like, over the last year, he's played 18 tournaments, beats 89% of golfers on average, finishes in the top 10% of field 78% of the time. the dude's a freak. He's finished in the top 10% of the field. Pretty much 100% of the time this year. Heck, I think he's finished in the top 5% of fields. Every single time, you know. So, yeah, a third at the Farmers, and then fifth at the WGC in Mexico, the Genesis Open, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So all strong fields he's playing. You know, he's playing the marquee events. Third at the Zozo, which is a very strong field, and WGC China, he won that. So, as usual, he's going to be projecting out really hot all over the place. His putter hasn't been so great lately, especially late last weekend, but everything else is perfect. Off the tee, you know, he's always pretty much the best at that. His approach game, solid as ever. Scrambling really well. Pretty much doing it all. Hitting 315 off the tee with a driving accuracy percentage over 60. That's always a killer. You know, leads the field in fantasy points gained on DraftKings, and birdies are better gained. I think he just comes in right behind Webb Simpson there, which, you know, speaks volumes about Simpson, but we'll get to him. But yeah, Rory, honestly, like on FanDuel, where he's only $12,200, and Rahm is like $12,000, Justin Thomas is $11,900. I mean, how do you not have Rory in like every lineup there, you'd think, but... the dude's going to be very popular. He was over 30% owned last week. I just think that Rory, I don't know, he seems like one of those guys that I'm going to have a really hard time not rostering just because it's so easy to get to him, even with him being $700 more than Rahm on DraftKings. But especially on FanDuel, it almost makes, you know, very little sense to not have a bunch of him. He's got all that win equity and stuff, but... you know, he just missed the cut here in 2018, has several missed cuts here historically, and, you know, it can happen to anyone on Thursday. I mean, would you really be all that shocked if Rory was, like, 5-over on Thursday? I know if you just started watching golf this year, you might not think that's possible, but that's definitely something that every top golfer is capable of, especially at this course. So, Rory, he pretty much rates out perfectly like every week, but this would be the week to not use him, honestly. You've got John Rahm at 11,000, sitting at 10-1 right now. Also in pretty damn good form, is right behind Rory, finishing in the top 10% of fields 73% of the time. He's more likely to finish eighth, is where Rory's more likely to finish like third, you know. But it's been putting it insanely this year. His putter is very, very strong. You know, around the green game needs a little bit of work. Off the tee, it's just like Rory. He's always going to crush it off the tee. Approach game, just not anywhere near Rory's level in that regard. Doesn't put up as many fantasy points. Birdies are better, you know, it comes in a little bit lower in that regard, but he does double bogey a good amount less than Rory. So it's kind of weird to look at those two and say that Rahm might seem the safest out of the two, but it's, you know, Rory's still probably safer, but, you know, for him to pay off his price on DraftKings, he pretty much has to have a standard Rory finish, but it's just a lot less likely to be guaranteed here than at pretty much any other course that we're going to go to outside of, like, you know, the U.S. Open and stuff like that. So, Rahm actually rates out a little bit better in strong fields than Rory, who beats 85% of people on average, compared to Rahm's 87%. And, you know, we've also seen him in other strong fields and, like, in Europe, and he does really, really well in those, winning several of those over the last year. Rahm going to come in a little less owned than Rory. I guess, if I just let myself make lineups just based on, you know, guys who I think are just going to do well, probably going to end up with more Rory than Rahm, but I think I'll try to make a conscious effort to play more Rahm than Rory this week, just because of what years and years of playing the Masters, the Players on DraftKings. And honestly, the Masters is pretty much the exact opposite of the Players. Instead of ignoring that course history, you're just smashing the course history. And instead of it being terribly unpredictable. It's pretty predictable for the most part. So big difference there, but yeah. Roy and Rahm, you know, I kind of say the same thing about them week to week because they've kind of been doing the same thing for a while. But yeah, it's, you know, this would be the week to take Rahm over Rory, as were most weeks. I would go Rory over Rahm. And you've got Justin Thomas, who, you know, continues to be pretty lights out. He's got several wins, you know, most recently winning at the Century Tournament of Champions. But since then, he's actually missed two of his four cuts. You know, his non-missed cuts were pretty good. Third at the Waste Management, six in Mexico. But he missed the cut at the Genesis and the Sony Open. The Sony, he was 12,000. That was a case of weather. I mean, that was just brutal weather. So a lot of guys were out of it by Thursday. Then at the Genesis, just had a really, really tough time. I do believe it was with his putter. Yeah, just abysmal putting. And that's something that, you know, we've seen from him in the past, but he also has rounds where he gains like 5 strokes putting, just kind of randomly. So it's very much up and down, as our Rahm has pretty much been nothing but up. He's gained strokes putting in his last 8 rounds, and most of them over 2. As were Justin Thomas, his last 2 rounds where he lost 2 strokes, and then he gained 2 strokes. So it's just kind of how it's been for him recently. Thomas has better history here than Rahm. Not as good as Rory. I mean, Rory looks pretty darn good, but Thomas pretty steady and consistent here. As a third in 2016, 11th in 2018. Recently, not, you know, again, some miscuts here, but I'm pretty much going to treat him like I usually would. Maybe, you know, Rahm or Rory look a little bit better this week, but I really am going to try to focus on not like the studiest of the studs, but kind of that second tier, and really attacking a little bit of ownership with just a handful of the chalk that I really like in Webb and Cantlay there. But yeah, Thomas, he's probably going to get lost in the mix for me here. You know, driving accuracy under 60%, unlike the two guys I just got done talking about. On, you know, underneath him, the final guy in that super grouping, Brooks Koepka, absolutely head-scratching play here. So he's been really bad, like, just awful. Like, in his 2020 season, he's double bogeyed or worse in 5% of his holes. Compare that to Xander Schauffele, who's double bogeyed or worse in 0.4% of his holes. Pretty big difference. And, you know, a lot of these guys are like that. You know, Cantlay, Webb Simpson, DeChambeau, Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, all these guys have double bogey or worse percentages under 1%. A lot of them well under 1%. Koepka's chilling at 5%. 55% driving accuracy. Miscuts, you know, the really bad miscut at the Honda. Who even knows? But then again, he also really, really shows up at in strong field events. You know, has the same field rank as Rory McIlroy in strong fields over the last year. Recently, it's just been his putter losing 0.7 strokes per round over his last 10, but on Bermuda grass greens, he averages 0.6 strokes gain putting. It's his best putting surface. He's a Florida boy. You know, he's from Jupiter. Not the first Floridian from Jupiter to be ranked number one in the world on the PGA Tour or the World Golf Rankings, which is pretty hilarious considering how small of a town that is. But he's 37-1 right now, and he's priced above guys like Dustin Johnson and Cantlay that are 23-1, and he's like $1,100 more expensive than DeChambeau, who's 18-1 right now. So no one's gonna touch him. Ownership like under 5% here. Only reason you're playing him is because you're thinking to yourself, yeah, well, Koepka doesn't care about these bad tournaments. He only shows up for the majors, but this isn't even really a major. This is just your moneymaker. The fifth major, but I know a lot of them don't you know, don't care about it like they would a major. But, you know, here he's just been all right. His best finish was 11th, you know. I mean, generally makes the cut and stuff, but right now he's just all over the place. I'd play him for ownership leverage purposes, but that's going to be it. It's not going to be because of any real angle with him. It's just because, you know, getting off that chalk and this kind of random, and he's kind of really low-owned. But I'm honestly going to be more comfortable doing that exact same thing with Dustin Johnson here at $10,000 even. 11-8 on FanDuel. A little bit harder to get to him there, but, well, actually, it's easier to get to him there, but a lot of guys look a lot better than he does on DraftKings over there on FanDuel. But, you know, he's really solid history here. 5th, 17th, and 12th over the last 3 years. Most recently, a pretty shaky, you know, bottom half of the pack finish at WGC Mexico, where he was, you know, expected to really bounce back. I'd been doing fine before that, 10th at the Genesis, 32nd at Pebble Beach, and 7th at the Tournament of Champions. So, it's alright, you know. Bombs off the tee, hits 60% of fairways. You know, looking pretty good in that regard. I mean, double bogey in a good amount, sure, but has crushed every course in Florida that he's been to recently, beating 97% of golfers there. Looks very similar to Koepka in the fact that he's been losing strokes putting recently, but he's an even better Bermuda putter than Koepka is, gaining 0.7 strokes on average on Bermuda grass greens, is where he's been losing 0.6 strokes over his last 10. So I could definitely see a bounce back from him here. He's also going to be low-owned, not as low-owned as Koepka, but I think that DJ has a much better chance to, you know, to not only just make the cut, but have a really good finish. Definitely a better play than Koepka in my mind. But after him, moving into the 9K range here, Cantlay, I've already let on. I'm going to be bouncing back on this guy, even though he missed the cut on me pretty hard here last year. You know, came back from, I guess you could say, an injury, but really is a surgery. But it won't affect him at all. It's not that kind of surgery. It was like, I forget the exact term of it, but it was like, I want to say like a sinus or like something to do with the bridge of your nose. I forget what it's called. I don't know. I don't want to butcher it. And I also don't want to like open a tab and look it up because I'm just trying to do this pod here. But it should not affect his swing or anything. I think he's going to continue to do just fine. Rates out second in projected round score. You know, one of the only guys projected under 70. So, you know, really good company there with Rory. And his numbers look kind of similar to Rory, too. His top 10% rate, not, you know, not quite as good as Rory, but 63%. Still very good. His top 25% rate, however, this is where he's even better. He's the best in this entire field. Rory McIlroy comes in the top 25% of fields 83% of the time, as where Patrick Cantlay finishes in the top 25% of the fields 88% of the time. He's also tied with Rory with a 94% top 50% rate. So he pretty much is always going to make the cut. Very rarely ever misses a cut. And does pretty darn well with him. Usually finishes near the front. But, you know, is more likely to finish right outside of the top 10 than get you a top 5 like, you know, someone like Rory would be able to. But he's so much cheaper. And also his approach game, the best of anyone I've talked about recently, gaining 1.3 strokes over his last 10 rounds. And over his last 25, gaining a stroke approach as well. So those irons have just been they're pretty much sizzling, honestly. And he hasn't played in Florida yet because he's been, you know, again, resting for the last few weeks here. But last year we saw him play in one event and finish with a 27% field rank. So, you know, it's just one event. It's fine, but, you know, it could be a little better there. Gains a lot of birdies, you know, in fantasy points. Hits a lot of greens and regs, 73%. Hasn't been as long as Rory, of course, but it's been a little bit more accurate. So, get a really good discount on someone who I think really should be priced up there with the big boys at this point. Him and Webb have just done so much to prove that they're super consistent, super steady, and they never really get the pricing respect they deserve, I think. So just continue to hammer them, especially in cash games. You know, Cantlay, Simpson, love those guys in cash games. You got Adam Scott at $9,600, probably the best course history of anyone here. Over his last 4 years, 12th, 11th, 6th, and 12th. Eight straight made cuts with six top 20 finishes in that span. So very, very good history here. A winner on tour recently at the Genesis Invitational. Another really, really strong field that we saw this year. Last week he missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer. But honestly, I'm not terribly worried about people missing the cut over the last 2 weeks. You know, if you miss the cut at the Honda, miss the cut at the Arnold Palmer, and even going back to the beginning of the year, if you miss the cut at the Sony, I'm not really going to hold that against you all too much, because the weather and just the overall chaos, clown fiesta nature of the whole thing, I'd be more than willing to give you a pass. You know, like Cantlay missed the cut here last year, and I'm definitely willing to give him a pass, because I know he's pretty good. And I know how this course can just be random as heck sometimes. But, yeah, Scott's priced up a pretty good amount. You know, I know he just won recently, but this is still a pretty hefty price for him. He's 30-1. You know, the next four guys after him all have better odds. Matsuyama and M as well. So a lot of guys underneath him that have better odds. But I think his course history is going to, you know, bring a lot of people to flock to him. He'll probably have a little bit more ownership than he probably should. But yeah, I don't really mind the play, I guess. I don't think he'll be quite as popular as Cantlay, or even Schauffele or Simpson underneath him. But he's not going to be like a super sneaky play. I think people really do like course history. And again, not the best week to chase course history, I think, you know, because even Scott, you know, has some pretty horrible miscuts here if you go back far enough. And he's just coming fresh off one. So you got Xander at 9-4 underneath him. He rates out pretty well for this course. Did forget to mention, you know, the types of holes on this course. And, you know, long par 4s are going to be a key thing we're looking at here. There are 5 long par 4s on the course. And then short par 5s. There are 3 of those. Those are probably going to be the main things I'm looking at here. DJ is number 1 in the long par 4 category. At least, you know, as far as DraftKings scoring and strokes gained on long par 4s goes. That's where Henrik Stenson rates out number 1 in short par 5s, but 124th in long par 4s. We'll get to Stenson, because that's obviously... You guys know that's my favorite golfer. That's the guy I ride or die with pretty much every single week. And yeah, we'll get to him, but it's a weird one this week. He continues to be kind of a head scratcher just over the last year or so. He's kind of deviated a little bit from what he usually does, but yeah, going back to Schauffele here. So again, he debuted second here in 2018, then missed the cut last year. That's just how this course is. He's made all of his cuts this year except for the Farmers Insurance Open, but you know, had runner-up finishes at the Tournament of Champions, WGC China. No top 10s from him in a little while, which is kind of weird because he's been doing that a lot, but still very capable of that. I think last week he had his first double bogey of the year. He had been really, really good as far as that goes. So I like him in that regard. I like his approach game. That's been really hot lately. Probably due to regress more than someone like Cantlay or like Rory, you know, because over the last 50, he's gained 0.34 strokes approach on average, but over the last 10, he's gained 1.2 on average. So probably looking to go back a little bit, but that is a part of his game that's just been, you know, pretty strong lately. He's also been kind of over putting as well, is where he usually loses, a little bit of a, his putting, but recently he's gained 0.6 per round over his last 10, so that's something that could come back. He's an okay play for me. I think he's going to be popular enough for me to not be too crazy about him. Love his greens and reg numbers. Love his double bogey avoidance. I think that's really nice. It's going to give me, it's going to influence me to, play a bit of him, and hopefully his kind of lackluster finishes over the last five events of his and his miscut here last year might keep some people off, but I know people like playing him. And you've got Webb Simpson, $9,200. Winner here in 2018. Really solid finishes here over the last 3 years. Didn't play in 2016. Before that, a lot of miscuts. Had the 15th place finish in 2013, but other than that, a lot of miscuts. 61st in Mexico. So that's his first bad finish. And let me count back here. Pretty much the last year. He hadn't missed a cut in forever, and that's pretty much going to count as a miscut. I know it was a no-cut event, but finishing 61st in a 72-person field, not ideal. But ever since they moved from Doral to Mexico in that tournament, he's sucked at that thing every year, and pretty much always bounces right back. I fully expect that to happen this week. His lack of distance is not going to matter as much, and even then, his distance is 298 right now. It's not too shabby. Better than Rory at recent birdies or better gain to the field. Fantasy points gained right on par with Rory. Has insane long-term double bogey or worse percentage. By far the best of any of the studs in this field. And I think he's the best in the entire field. So super safe play. 84% top 25% rate. Better than Rory, better than Rahm. Only Cantlay is better than him in that regard, and 53% of the time he's beaten 90% of the field and finishing in the top 10%. So he's been doing a lot of putting recently, but I think he's just become a good putter ever since they forced the long putter out of his hand. I think he's really got it figured out right now. The only place he's losing strokes is off the tee, which, is honestly, just because of the lack of distance here, but his driving accuracy percentage has been fine. Approach, his numbers are just super good. Very consistent, very, very consistent, usually gaining 0.9 on average. So $9,200 and especially $10,700 on FanDuel, he's even more underpriced over there. It's hard for me to not just shove here and play a crap ton of Webb, and that's gonna be my plan here. I'm just gonna do that and eat the chalk there, because he will be pretty chalky. I expect him to be one of the highest owned guys here, but don't really care too much. Definitely looking to play him as chalk, more so than like a Rory or even a Cantlay. Probably my favorite play on the board, to be quite honest. Just hoping that 61st in Mexico would potentially get people off of him, but I know he's going to be popular. And then you have Mr. Underpriced here as far as Vegas goes. For some reason, Vegas really likes DeChambeau this week. And that for some reason would be his three straight top five finishes at pretty dang strong fields here. So he's got that going for him. Hasn't missed a cut here in two tries, finishing 20th and 37th. As far as strokes gain goes, he's gaining strokes in every category, putting pretty well, but off the tee, he is absolutely insane. Like, lights out. 1.5 strokes gained on average over his last 10. Over his last 25, that's one stroke gained on average over his last 25. Just blowing the rest of the field out of the water there. Hitting at 316 with a 67% driving accuracy. That is a monster driver right there. That's just nutty. So, really good at birdies and better gained. Really good at fantasy points gained. A great showdown play. I usually do not like DeChambeau. I am underweight of him, on him most of the time. This week, obviously, I'm going to be underweight on him because I think he is the chalk. I think he's going to be the highest owned player. And, not the... definitely not the... hardest guy to go underweight on, in my opinion, just because he tends to let people down when he gets in positions like that. he's a really streaky guy. So once he starts, you know, playing really poorly, he's going to kind of continue to play poorly. But when he gets hot, he gets really smoking hot. And I think a lot of people are sensing that. I would not be surprised if he continues to be really smoking hot here. Just by principle, I'm going to try to get off of him just because of what I know about this event. I pretty much expect him to kind of freak out here like he did in Saudi Arabia after a while from something or another, have a bad performance, and then turn right around the next week and, like, win. That's kind of what I see from him, so I'm kind of hoping that's how it goes down. 9,000, Tommy Fleetwood. Top 10 finishes here over the last 2 years, no miscuts. Pretty bad miscut for me last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational because I took him in one and done like a dingus. And not the week before at the Honda where he almost won, but yeah, he took a splash there on 18. But as long as he doesn't take any splashes here, I think he's going to be fine. Plays very good in Florida with the exception of last week. Yeah, very good here. Not very good as far as a DraftKings scoring, though. You know, I like him more on FanDuel, definitely. 23rd in the field in projected round score, but 65th in projected fantasy points per round. Just not getting a ton of eagles, doing a lot of parring. I know that's not something that really happens here, but I would like to see, you know, some more fantasy points come from my boy Fleetwood, because he's kind of like finishing better than he scores, you know, as far as fantasy purposes go. And you can have the winner, but sometimes the winner is outscored by second or third place because the eagles and, you know, birdies and stuff. And that's just kind of where Fleetwood has been recently. You got Ricky Fowler, $8,900. Who knows with him? His course history here is pretty much perfect as far as explaining this course. Pretty much terrible every single year except for in 2015 where he won. And in 2013 where he came runner-up. So the only thing more ridiculous than that would be like Johnson Wagner's course history at the Sony Open where it's like 12 miscuts and a random win. That's kind of how it is here. So I always just thinking when the public gets involved, people just really like to roster Fowler. He's coming off a decent week last week, finishing top 20. It was pretty low owned after a miscut at the Honda, but you know, being right at 8-9, he is going to have lower ownership. Maybe someone I would look at, but just personally, I'm not going to be the one going there. I don't think he has the greatest upside compared to some others. I like Hideki Matsuyama right underneath him. Significantly better odds. He's at $8,800 here. And a miscut in 2018, but other than that, his other five finishes this course, all top 25 finishes. You know, this is a place where, I mean, tee to green, he's pretty much perfect. That's kind of how he always has been. Very similar to Byung-Hung An, where he's amazing tee to green and just is awful at putting. You know, Corey Connors, same thing. He's just like a super Corey Connors. Elite at birdies or better gained. Pretty darn good at fantasy points gained. You know, will make your cuts. You know, does pretty much everything well. Just can't putt. And he rarely ever does really putt all that great at all. You know, he has a few rounds every now and again where he puts up like over two strokes gained. But pretty much every single time he does that, they're sandwiched around like rounds that where he loses like three or four strokes gained. So it's not like he gets hot and then just continues to putt well. It's kind of like he'll have one reasonable round and then just go back to being bad, but all, you know, continues to just crush his irons. He's had elite irons for years now, which is, you know, it's the key to success here. Just God, he's frustrating with the, you know, the whole putting thing, but you got a lot of guys like that. Another guy that's been really frustrating is Justin Rose. That's two straight weeks in a row for him with a pretty bad miscut at a place where he's had good history. He's had some good history here, at least recently. But, you know, gonna be super, super low owned, but It's just hard to play him because he's playing so ridiculously bad. Horrible driving accuracy, losing strokes to the field like crazy. Tons of double bogeys. He's at 3.5% right now. Just an awful year, honestly. He's had five complete failures, and that's been it for his 2020 season. You were just 2 years removed from, 2018. He had like a perfect year. He made every cut and pretty much was top 25 in every single event, you know, playing very good golf. He's definitely regressed quite a bit, and I hope he gets it figured out soon. But probably just going to stay away because I don't think this is the week where he rebounds. Just having too many like accuracy problems. Can't find greens and regs. Loses birdies to the field at a significant level compared to the guys around him. Just not where I'd want to be looking. I mean, he doesn't even beat 50% of the golfers on average over his last 25. It's not very good for him. So I'm just kind of waiting for him to turn it around. For some reason, Sungjae Im is cheaper than him. I mean, maybe it's because he's never made a cut here in his one try, but third and first over the last 2 weeks. He said he's going to finally cut his schedule down after his win at the Honda and focus more on these bigger events, which I guess his body will thank him for later. Because you can't play every week, I guess. He's just really got to focus on winning those Olympics this summer. Keep him from mandatory military duty. You can ask his fellow Korean brethren, Siwoo Kim, that winning this tournament does not keep you from your mandatory military service, even though this is a way bigger tournament than the Olympics. But hey, rules are rules. But yeah, I love him. He's really, really solid across the board. Gaining strokes in every category. Gaining at least 0.4 strokes in every category over his last 10 rounds. Actually, over his last 25 rounds, last 50 rounds, every single category he's gaining strokes in. Just a super, super solid work from him at 8,600. Very easy for him to end up on your roster. And Patrick Reed at $8,500. I know he's been doing it all through putting recently, but my God, he's been super consistent this year. Tons of top 15s. Winner two events ago at WGC in Mexico. Not too much to say here. Pretty good price. I'd be willing to play him a good amount, and he looks really strong in stronger fields, beating 78% of golfers on average. Really good, way better than Sungjae Im, who's at 59% in that same stat over 10 events played. So do like Reed a lot. Day is injured currently. He just withdrew from the Arnold Palmer. 62-1, really crazy high number for him. I would just fade him and not worry about it. I don't care how low his ownership's going to be. Gary Woodland, $8,300. I actually do like that for once. Tired of being underweight on Woodland and going, bah, he's going to go back to playing poorly. I guess he's fine. His price is actually really good, and for once, I don't think he's going to be like crazy high-owned, which has been the reason I've been off of him a lot this year, but I think this is a good place to go in on him. Paul Casey, too, very similar play at $8,200. Much different golfer, but you know, I think his ownership will be fairly similar, maybe a bit lower. And you're coming in right at the DraftKings average price. It's not bad. His short game is horrible right now, but his off the tee, his approach game, his ball striking is just really, really good. Hasn't missed a cut on the year yet. Although his Pebble Beach performance, he cut it pretty darn close. But still, you know, horrible miscut here last year. But other than that, he does pretty well. Outside of having multiple withdrawals, so that was from a while ago. I don't think we have to worry about that here. Tony Finau, $8,100, not the worst option here. Does play pretty decently in strong fields, or at least at majors he has recently. A couple of years ago he finished top 10 in all the majors. Last year, finishing 22nd here, this is his first actual good finish at this course. I wish his driving accuracy was a little better, but the greens reg number, really good there. You know, good everything but putting. Although his off the tee numbers have dipped a little recently with that drop in driving accuracy, but still like me some Finau for GPP. Sergio Garcia, also probably up there with Scott as one of the best course history guys here this week. Of course, I'm not too huge on course history, and he also ranks 96th in projected DraftKings points per round. I don't know. Not really going to have too much of him. Not going to have too much of Oosthuizen. We're hitting the 1 hour mark of this pod here. Probably not going to go golfer by golfer through this entire dang field here, but there are a lot of marquee plays in a row here that I just really want to point out. $7,900. Colin Morikawa looks like an amazing play. Has never missed a cut on the PGA Tour, which is insane at this point. He has the current longest made cut streak. Stroke scanned approach numbers, best in the field. His putting has been awful lately, but everything else has been really good. So, gets a ton of birdies, doesn't really double bogey much. You know, definitely has eagle potential. Just a really awesome play. He's going to be popular, and popular for a good reason. You know, just a much better play than guys around him. Now to my boy Stenson, former winner here. Horrible miscut last year in 2016. Oh, don't even get me started about 2016. So tilting. Pretty much top 25 every other year outside of that. But in 2016, I think he had like an 8 over, like octuple bogey or something. When he just kept retrying the same shot over and over and over, shooting it. Just super frustrating lately. He hadn't been on the PGA Tour in a very long time, leading up to last week. Had an awful Thursday. Came back and shot par on Friday, but it was too late by then. I guess it's kind of forgivable, but his driving accuracy looked just horrendous. 50%. And this is a guy who's led the PGA Tour in driving accuracy more years than not, honestly. At least top five every single year. He did switch his three wood out not too long ago. I don't know if that's been affecting him. It looks like he wasn't playing that great over in Europe either. Did win the Hero over the winter, but it's more like an exhibition tournament than anything. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes, but he's like hitting 4% double bogeys. It's kind of a yikes. I mean, the sample size for those recent numbers are kind of small with the large gap. He just hasn't been in America much, honestly. Usually it does play pretty good in Florida, but I don't know. If he plays good this week, I'm going to go in on him for the Valspar, but if not, I think I'm just going to kind of continue abstaining. Although I do think his approach numbers are due for regression because he's never not good at approach. I think we've got Matt Kuchar, $7,800. Awesome play this week. Another super good course history guy. Winner here in 2012, third in 2016, 17th and 26th over the last 2 years here. Had a little bit of a stumble with his form after a really, really good year last year. Started out the fall swing not looking too great, but so far for the regular season, he's been pretty awesome. Missed the cut at Sony by a stroke, but, you know, weather, wind, all that. Other than that, it's been great. Almost won the Genesis, kind of out of nowhere. His ownership's been super low. The price is very, very right for him here. His ownership won't be low this week. Feels like most weeks where there's a major where Matt Kuchar is just super low priced, everyone just kind of locks him in because, of course, he has great history at all of the major tournaments. Yeah, this is just where this is the kind of event where he usually succeeds at, and will just make the cut for you real solid. Which, you know, with the expected low 6 of 6 rates at a tournament like this, you know, made cuts are kind of liquid gold here. You know, I would look a little bit more into just made cut percentage overall and just like safety numbers, a bit more than I'd look for like aggressive birdie making kind of numbers. Even though that's what you ultimately want to win a tournament, it's just getting 6 of 6 through, that is going to be the hard part this week. But like Kuchar, like Byung-Hung An, they're at the same price range. Has been playing really good golf lately and top 30 finishes here of his last 2 years. If you're looking for a really sneaky play, Shane Lowry is probably going to have like no ownership. And I mean, he just won a major. So, you know, he's been winning stuff, you know? I mean, just not really on the PGA Tour lately, but, you know, he just won the Open Championship last year and can kind of strike out of nowhere, and he's going to have, like, no ownership. Spieth will also have no ownership, but that is deserved at this point. He's also really bad at this course. Debuted with a fourth in 2014. Just been awful ever since, missing almost every cut. Just playing horribly. No driving accuracy whatsoever. Very scary play. Only good at short game. Horrible off the tee. Horrible approach. Disgusting. Victor Hovland, who won in Puerto Rico, kind of got his freebie win there. Horrible the next week at the Honda. I guess that's forgivable. I don't know. I much prefer Mark Leishman here at $7,600. 9-7 on FanDuel. Awesome play on any site you're playing. Last few years here, he hadn't been great, but he does have a little bit of history at this course going back further. Runner-up last week, winner at the Farmers Insurance Open. Just super underpriced, and his approach numbers are really awesome, kind of like they always are. Billy Horschel, a pretty decent play here. Has been pretty good for him at 7-5. Scotty Scheffler, another very interesting guy. Kind of like Morikawa, where he's a rookie, doesn't have too many events played. I mean, I have almost 50 rounds of ShotLink data on him now at this point, so these numbers kind of holding up. His approach numbers, they did kind of regress to the mean, but off the tee, it looks like he is really solid, hitting 305 with a 66% driving accuracy. That's really nice. Gaining a ton of birdies to the field. He's doing a really nice job. So $7,500, and especially 8-7 on FanDuel, that is a really, really good price. Love him over there. And then you got last week's winner, Tyrrell Hatton. Super numbers from him. Great approach numbers. Really just great tee to green. Even gaining some strokes putting recently, which, you know, if Hatton's putting well, then watch out, because he's one of those guys. He was sixth at the WGC Mexico event just a few weeks prior to the Arnold Palmer last week. And had really been good form just coming in. Gaining 3.8 birdies to the field. Although, you know, the sample size is kind of lower there because he's not playing a full schedule here or anything. But still, just really awesome when we've seen him in America. Like, over his last six events, he's beaten 84% of golfers on average. Really good. And, you know, bad history here. Missing the cut the last 2 years. But, again, hopefully that just keeps the ownership lower on him. Usually people like to get off of guys after they won. Sungjae Im just kind of proved why you don't do that. Because I think when you're feeling it, you're just feeling it. I think that whole, you know, getting off of people after they win thing is kind of overrated. You had a lot of guys kind of disprove that theory last year. Mickelson, we avoid him like the plague now because he's awful. Poulter, really good history here as far as, like, made cuts go. Runner-up in 17 and 11th in 2018. And he's been making some cuts recently. Could just be a sneaky little play there. Bubba at 7-3, kind of interesting. A good GPP kind of YOLO play there. I've got a... everyone at $7,200 is very interesting. Except for Wolf and Willett, I guess. They're pretty bad. But you've got this nice little pocket of value. And I mean, like, value here. I mean, just to preface this... The guys at $7,300, their odds to win are 112 to 1, 122 to 1, 140 to 1. At 60 to 1, you got Daniel Berger. Top 10 finishes in his last three events coming in. He's made every cut this year. A big time Florida boy. I mean, really good on, like, Bermuda. He has been putting out of his mind recently, and that's kind of what's been carrying him, but he is gaining strokes in every category. And he's just like, what was it, Morikawa, where I said, I forget who I just mentioned earlier, but no matter what split you're looking at, over the last 10, 25, 50 rounds, off the tee, approach, around the green, putting, gaining strokes in every single one. Love this play. Abraham Ancer, also, debuted 12th here last year. It's also made, like, all of his cuts this year. Rates 8th in projected fantasy points per round because he's awesome at scoring. Very, very good play here at $7,200, way underpriced. And then just looking at pure pedigree, Brent Snedeker, $7,200. Get out of here. I know he has really bad history here, but it's like, it's just miscut, 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 then top 10, miscut, miscut, miscut. Last year is fifth. I think he has a lot of possible win equity. He's a guy that wins tournaments when he's on, because when he's on, he's on. And that's kind of what you're looking for here. And he kind of looks like Spieth, where his around the green game and putting seems to do most of the heavy lifting, but that has always been Snedeker's MO. I don't like chasing guys that have been putting and just having good short games recently, but when it's someone who's established their game like that over the years, I don't know, especially with Snedeker, I just really like him. It used to be the same way with Jason Day, but right now, you know, Day's got a lot of stuff going on. But anywho, Snedeker, Anserberger, love this little threesome here. And then you've got Harris English, who is in just amazing form, would rate out super well. But in the last 6 years here at this course, miscut, 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 and miscut. Not trying to look too much into course history here, but that is a large size yikes for me, and I'm gonna have to pretty much pass. I don't think that will even affect his ownership too much, because his game log just looks so solid. He's still gonna see some ownership, but my god, that's rough. And you've got Ryan Moore at $7,200. You want the sneaky play here. That's it right there. People do not like to play Ryan Moore for whatever reason. He's a solid golfer. Really good avoiding double bogeys and stuff. Pretty safe, you know, accurate. Just top 30 here over his last 2 years. 20th last year. And even some top 10 finishes this season. It's just people really don't like Ryan Moore. I don't know why. He just never gets any ownership. Not the best at fantasy scoring, but pretty decent, like, cut making and stuff. Then Van Rooyen, also kind of a good contrarian play here at 7-2. Third not too long ago at the WGC Mexico. Very strong field there, of course. You got RCB, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who had an awful miscut last year. Awful miscut last week, but if you go back further, the last 2 weeks before that, he's really good. Top 20 finishes there. And the last 2 years at this course, top 20 finishes there. So good rebound play. Rates out really well in fantasy point scoring compared to projected round score. And then Ches Reavie. This is a place where old people can get their game on. Reavie is so streaky. He loves to miss many cuts in a row. And when he starts making cuts, he just can't stop making cuts. That's been his thing for like the last several years. And it looks like he's back to making cuts, so that'd be cool. This is a place where he can definitely hit it around. And then a guy who has hit it around here many a times, Francesco Molinari. Four top 10 finishes here this course, but my god, is he awful. He just withdrew from the Arnold Palmer when he was defending champion. His game is a nightmare right now. It's horrible. It's awful. He loses 18 fantasy points to the field on average. Over his last 8 events played, he's only beaten 33% of golfers. Horrible. Absolutely atrocious. So I don't even know if you can touch that. My boy Bernd Weissberger. Finally saying it right. He's usually awful in America. This is the one tournament he's actually been pretty decent at. This might be the place where I finally get to lick my chops there. You got Lanto Griffin. He's awesome. He's playing pretty good. Just not really tested in these strong fields. But you know, with a win under his belt, we're going to have to get used to seeing him these majors and stuff. Should be a good learning experience. But I don't really like guys with zero experience at Sawgrass. I don't think that's that much of a recipe for success here. You got Ortiz, who's played here once before and missed the cut pretty badly. He's been playing really good golf this year. Brendan Todd, another top 20 finish from him last week. He's not that far removed from back-to-back wins. He definitely got his season started off strong. It's a shorter course, which plays into his style. You know, very accurate, but very short off the tee. I could see Todd doing some work at like 1 or 2% ownership. Adam had went 7K. It's a pretty decent play there, honestly. Very high made cut percentage on him. Victor Perez, I just want to point out that he's min price on FanDuel, which is kind of crazy. And all of his work was done this year so far. He was fourth in WGC China, but a lot of really, really good results in Europe, but that's not going to show up on FanDuel. So I love him over there on FanDuel. That's where I'll get my exposure to him. Great approach numbers as well, but of course he only has 4 shot link rounds to go off of, and they're just WGC events. So definitely looking to use him as a punt over there. And then the other guy I'm using as a punt over on FanDuel at 7K, Taylor Gooch. Really, really good form. Has made ton of cuts in a row. I think he's made every single cut this year, at least since the Mayakoba Classic. Recent finishes of 13th last week, 38th the Honda, 10th at the Genesis. Some strong fields. Missed the cut here last year, but at least he has experience. Again, a min price on FanDuel. That's awesome. You got Knox, who I'd be into, but it seems like you forgot how to golf after making all of his cuts in a row to start the year. Misses one, now that's all he does, so I don't know. And again, still got that PTSD from Splash City a few years ago with him, but very cheap. Cameron Champs also, a few bad tournaments in a row, and he's fallen this far. He withdrew from this tournament last year. Granted, not a great course fit for him, because he's just a pure bomber with, not that much accuracy, but he's become so cheap all of a sudden. Christian Bezuidenhout. He's looking really awesome so far. The few times he's seen him on the PGA Tour has been really good. Really good with his approach numbers in Europe and here in America so far. Looks to be really good on Bermuda from what we can tell. Rory Sabatini, we jokingly call him the good Rory in Slack. Has pretty solid history here. I mean, several made cuts in a row, 6 in 2015. Just a good overall cut maker. Makes 85% of his cuts long term. At $6,800, that's just kind of what you're shooting for. Jim Furyk at 6'8 also. Runner up here last year and in 2014. He missed a few cuts to start the year on the dot and on 18. So he had. So at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Genesis, those two tournaments back-to-back, he finished 69th both times. Usually I would say that's nice, but it was not nice because on the 18th hole each time, he bogeyed a par 5 to miss the cut. Infuriating. Or should I say infuriating. Okay, this pod's gone on too long. That was awful. I'm a dad, but even I should be ashamed by that dad joke. That was a stretch. That was a reach. Anyway, $6,800. There are more good plays in this range. It's super solid range. Jason Kokrak, who was top 20 last week. Ownership's been crazy low, and let's not forget about last year how freaking good he was, making like every cut. So if he gets back into form, like watch out for him. You've got Nick Taylor at 68. Winner just 3 events ago for him. Another guy who's just a good, solid cut maker. Top 20 at this course last year. Emiliano Grillo. 3 straight good made cuts from him at this course. Of course, he's been oddly missing a lot of cuts recently. And that's something he hasn't really done historically, but has a random third mixed in there. Of course, this is from Puerto Rico, but I don't know. Maybe he really does look... He actually does look pretty bad. Like, over his last 6, he's made 1 cut. But if he goes back to playing anything like he has in the past, this would be a really good spot for him. But I don't know. Look at that form now. It's kind of rough. Same with Corey Connors. Loving him for a while. Last 4 events, pretty rough. And his is just, he can't putt. He cannot putt at all whatsoever. It's infuriating. And also Danny McCarthy. Now, he can putt. Both of these guys. Just on crazy made cut streaks, and then they miss a cut, and it's just a huge skid mark. And they both finished 41st here in their debut last year. So these two guys couldn't be any more opposite, and yet they oddly are kind of the same here. It's funny. Now you've got a few interesting plays. You get down to the lower 6K range. Usually at this point of the pod, I'd be saying the rest of these guys are trash, 6,500 and above. There might be one or two guys you can look at, but here, this 6K range is actually loaded. Starting at 6'6", you got some crazy chalk. Joel Dahmen. He had a withdraw at Waste Management, right? If you throw that out, this would be his form coming in. 6th, then miscut. 12th, 55th, 14th, 5th, and then 5th last week. His course history here, a 12th in his debut last year. Now, the following guys are more expensive than him at $6,700. Fratelli, Taylor, Hughes, and Laundry. All of them have 240-1 odds or worse. Joel Dahmen is chilling at 88-1. He's cheaper. So, super chalk right there. Like, in the teens. Maybe over 15%. Like, a lot of chalk there. And then right next to him, you've got little brother chalk in the form of Max Homa, who has been insane. Had a West Coast swing to die for. His last five finishes, 9th, 6th, 14th, 5th, and then 24th last week, when we all expected him to kind of fall off once he got out of the West Coast. Nope, just kept on rolling. Really, really solid play, honestly. Only downfall in his game has been around the green stuff. And, on 17, he can't lose any strokes around the green if there is no around the green. Yeah, that's using your brain right there, making some bold calls. Yet Cameron Tringali also. His odds are nowhere near as good as Homa or Dahmen, but dude just makes a ton of cuts, making 92% of his cuts. And he's made his last three cuts here at this event, 16th, two starts ago, although he hasn't played this course in the last 2 years. Keith Mitchell coming off of fifth last week, made the cut here last year. I don't like him statistically as much, but just another option here. You've got freaking Ryan Palmer at $6,500. Super cheap for him. The ultimate GPP play, because he can top 10, top 20 out of nowhere and then miss five cuts in a row and then go back and do the same thing. And he's had a really good season so far, making 86% of his cuts, which is not like him. The year before that, I think he missed 86% of his cuts, but looking in very good form right there. Tom Hoagie, he also is just in some seriously good form here. Missed cut at the Honda, but other than that, 15th, 25th, 5th, 6th, 12th. Some awesome finishes for him. And you got $6,400, JT Poston. Debuted 22nd here last year. Another guy that makes a ton of cuts. Had top 40 finishes in six of his last seven events going into last week before missing the cut there. Don't like that a lot of it's been putting, but still, not a bad play for $6,400. Also got Brian Harman, the same price, eighth year last year, and he's been making 83% of his cuts, although last week was one of those missed cuts weeks. What else here? Russell Henley, his approach game has been insane lately. So starts the season off with five straight missed cuts. Now he's got two straight top 20s coming in. So he could be pretty sneaky here, I think. Johnny Vegas at $6,300. Third last year. Also has a seventh place finish here. He's low-key been playing pretty all right. 310 yards off the tee. 66% driving accuracy. 0.6% double bogey or worse percentage. Not shabby at all, and he's all dang near min price here. So I like that Vegas play a lot. I think that's sneaky. Moving on down, I wish my boy CT Pan was playing better, but he's playing like crap. Nick Watney at 6'2". I like that. Pretty good at the Honda. Kind of iffy history here, but he does have a 4th and 17th from way on back. Lashley, we loved him last year, but he's just hurt and withdrawn all over the place. Three withdrawals this year already. Can't really trust that. Sebastian Munoz at $6,100. That really crazy price. He's way undervalued here. 27th in projected fantasy points per round. 0.9 strokes per approach gain per round. Just way underpriced, almost minimum price. Awesome, awesome value play if you want to jam in Rory and guys like that. Adam Long also, pretty good play here at 6-1. Then you can go down to the very, very bottom of the barrel here. You cannot do this at most courses and most fields, but this field you absolutely can. Several guys in play here. You got Charlie Hoffman, you know, generally good course history here. 13th last week, gaining strokes approach like he usually does. His struggle is mainly putting, but he's actually a pretty good Bermuda putter, the only surface he gains strokes on. And you've got Jimmy Walker, who has a mixed history here. You know, top 25 finishes the last 2 weeks. Before that, it was some missed cuts and all that. You know, it's hard to tell with Walker. It seems like his career really took a downhill turn since he contracted Lyme disease. But just 2 years ago, he was runner-up here. 2014, 15th in 2013. So he does have a little history here, and he's at min price. And you've got Zach freaking Johnson at min price. I like playing him in cash because he just makes them cuts. At one point, he had one of the best course histories here at this course. In recent years, it's kind of gone down a little bit. Not a guy you want to play for DraftKings scoring purposes, but for making the cut at min price, I like him, and also like Mark Hubbard, and also like Adam Shank for that very purpose. Although Shank has no history here at all. Hubbard just has a miscut from a few years ago. But Zach Johnson, I think, you know, I understand why his price has gone down. You know, he's definitely regressing, but min price, I don't know. I would play some of him for sure. And that's going to do it, man. That's going to do it for the Players' Championship. Now, I know there's a millionaire maker, but before you guys go maxing it out, it's like, what, 2.25 million, the price pool? So you've got like first place taking like 40% of the money. It's honestly a horribly structured tournament. I really don't want to see a millionaire maker unless there's at least 4 million in the pool, but that's just me. I know it's a big marketing thing, but just know that that's probably one of the worst tournaments you can join as far as ROI goes, unless you are perfectly comfortable with burning through a bunch of money like it's nothing, just for that off chance of sort of like lottery winning it all. But I definitely prefer the larger size and the more balanced payout structures. It's just like, you know, if you come in 100th in the Million Maker out of like 100 plus thousand people or whatever, and you get like, what, 100, 200 bucks, that just feels awful. Feels horrible. Just terrible. Or God forbid, I know we had a guy do this in the Masters last year, but finishing second, getting 100K, imagine being like just 0.2 fantasy points short of first and having a 900K swing. Like that's too much for me. But if that's for you, this is the week to play. First millionaire maker of the year. I don't think we had one for the Players last year. I think we just had them in the four majors, but about to have this one. And then next month, the Masters. Of course, we're going to have the Millionaire Maker there. Should be really nice. So getting into the really awesome swing of golf here as we get through the major season and all that. So looking forward to that. Again, if you're not a member, dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO. Get you that lifetime 20% off. And I will see you guys next week as we try to wrap up this Florida swing. Have a good one and enjoy the coverage this week. It's going to be awesome. I'll be right around there with you guys. See you later.